It is great to be here, and thank you, Matt, for the invitation. And this morning, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about Jesus's vision of the church through spiritual giftings. I called Matt probably a week and a half ago, or maybe it was last week, and I just wanted to run this by Matt because I'm under his authority this morning, and he said, Doug, that would be great, because last Sunday I think you stopped in 1 Corinthians. I know you're doing a series working through the Bible, every book of the Bible, so we're just going to we're going to take another pause on 1 Corinthians, and I want to talk about spiritual gifts. Now, if you have your Bibles, maybe I should say this. If you're old school and you use a phone or a cell phone for your Bible, that's fine. But if you're hip and cool and if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to, there's going to be two passages of scripture that I read this morning. And I love just looking at a chunk of scripture. I'm not going to bounce around very much. I just like expository preaching where we look at just a few passages. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. And then we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 of 14. Before we read this morning, just to give a little bit of a background to this 1 Corinthians, is Paul here is writing to a very young church. And actually, most of 1 Corinthians, a lot of 2 Corinthians, is the Apostle Paul actually bringing correction, gentle pastoral correction, to this young church. You have to know this, is that some of our greatest theologies that we believe came through gentle correction of the Apostle Paul and Jesus. And so we're going to look at these texts. And I for some people, spiritual gifts might be a controversial. I want you to know there's nothing controversial about the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, the most sane person in this room is not Pastor Matt. It is the Holy Spirit. I think that's okay to say that. Matt is you've got a good pastor, and he's very thoughtful. But the Holy Spirit is not, the Holy Spirit becomes weird when we make him weird. He is the most sane, with it, controlled, because he's not a force. The Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is here today, and we trust him. When Jesus said to the disciples, I'm leaving and I'm sending another, the word in Greek is not heteros, it's allos. He's saying, I'm sending someone just like me. And so the most beautiful, sane person in this room is the Spirit of God. And so we're going to look at spiritual gifts and the church. And what I want to do this morning, just before we read the text, is I want to give you a little bit of a definition of spiritual gifts, because I think sometimes we get a wrong idea, and I've heard it taught a little bit wrong about spiritual giftings. And then I want to give you two pastoral pleas, not like a please, but like a, oh, like let's walk this way. Two pastoral encouragements to you, Gateway, surrounding spiritual gifts. And so I hope you don't mind that we do this. And I got to take my glasses off because I'm old and going blind. But do you mind standing with me as we read God's word this morning? And I'm reading from the NIV. I think it's on the screens, but if you're old school and use a phone, and if you're hip and use the Bible, that's totally fine this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, let's just pause here for a second. Who's each one? Say me. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for, and I don't want to sound like a televangelist here, but can you just say, for the common good with me, for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one. He's talking to us this morning, just as he determines. Now turn to chapter 14. I'm just going to read verse 1a. And this actually comes from maybe a little bit of, I know this is from Paul, but my encouragement to you, even as just someone from district office, follow the way of love. Follow the way of love, Gateway Church. And then it says, eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. This is the reading of the Lord's word. You may be seated. I'm just going to pray one more time. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the leadership of Gateway Church. Thank you for your pastors. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that they are to this congregation. And now, Father, we pray as David prayed, show us wondrous things from your law, O Lord. Lord, we sang that song this morning, and you are good. And if we can grasp that somehow through pain and strife and trauma, if we just know that you are good, that's just one little grain of sand on a very long beach of how depth of goodness you really are. Thank you for your people this morning. May your word encourage us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Again, gifts are a bit of a broad topic to bring as a guest, but I think when we go through the sermon this morning, you'll see and understand why I chose this and asked Pastor Matt if we could just pause here for a second. Gifts are a broad topic. So again, what I want to do is I want to give you maybe a definition or a redefinition of spiritual gifts, and then just two pastoral cries to you. So let's start with just a definition of the understanding of spiritual gifts. This is a little bit of a broad brushstroke of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when you read the epistles, one thing I like about the Apostle Paul, maybe you don't see it, but when you start to read the epistles and the letters of Paul, you'll see this very clearly. Paul loves lists. Like, he just loves lists. And I think he's inspired by the Spirit, and he's just like, I think we should go to Kamloops, and we should go to Gateway, and we should go see Matt. You know, he just has these lists, and he just kind of spouts off all these lists of the gifts of the Spirit. There's really four places where the gifts of the Spirit are found in the New Testament. People say there's three places, but I think it's actually four. And I'm just going to go through them. And I love how they're easily connected to remember where those gifts are. We find gifts in 1 Peter 4, which I would say are more of an encouragement to walk in spiritual giftings. We see some gifts in Ephesians 4. Do you see the connection there? 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 12. We see that in Ephesians 4, it's not quite gifts of the Spirit for individuals, but in Ephesians 4, it's more of the gifts of people for the church, all right? Like pastors, teachers, evangelists, like Pastor Matt and Pastor Nathan, I know that they walk in humility, but the way that Jesus encourages the church is he gives you people like pastoral leadership to challenge you, to encourage you, to correct you, to train you in righteousness. Those are gifts of people to the church. Then we see Romans 12, and we would call some of these lifelong traits in Romans 12. Then in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to give you the list of what they are. We would call these 1 Corinthians 12 gifts toolbox gifts. That there's gifts of proclamation, of perception, and then there's gifts of power. Let me just read a little bit of a list that I have. There's gifts of discernment and tongues and interpretation and miracles and healings and faith and knowledge and pastors and evangelists and prophets and apostles. I would say that there's really probably, people say the fivefold, I'd say there's four because pastor teacher in the Greek is actually really quite connected. And then there's gifts of wisdom and leadership. And here's one, administration. Does anybody in the room have a gift of administration? Oh, Come on, we should give it up. I mean, that should be one, for a pastor, that's one of the greatest gifts because I suck at it. So if you have a gift of administration, that's one of those lifelong giftings that you have that's been birthed by the Spirit, that you can see things and align things and plan things and you know the logistics of it. Oh, what a gift people have of administration. There's gifts of giving and encouragement and teaching and service and mercy and helps. And so again, like the Apostle Paul, he loves these lists. And I have to say this, that I don't think that that is only the exclusive 21 or 22, what they say, gifts. Because we know in the Old Testament, there's gifts of architecture and gifts of design. Anybody here love designing houses or designing, sorry, husband, maybe it's not a gift to you all the time, but changing of the pillows or redoing of the painting, I don't know. But, you know, Jesus never called the Old Testament the Old Testament. He called it the Scriptures, and that's how we should look at it too. So I don't think the gifts that Paul describes are the only gifts. And I want to get pointed to this, is that it's not just about the gifts that you know that you have. Like, I know that I have a gift of shepherding. I love people. I love pastoring people. I love listening to people. I have a gift of leadership. I have a gift of mercy and compassion. 12 years before I took this job at BCYD, I led something at CLA called Recovery Church, that for 12 years, every Sunday night, we'd have about 200 to 250 people in addiction, out of addiction, family members in addiction. And so I know that those compassion is, I love that kind of stuff. Sometimes at conferences, I've seen this before, and it really bothers me because I actually don't like it when people make fun of the people of God or use them for manipulative ways. And so sometimes when it talks about spiritual gifts, I've seen this is a preacher or an evangelist. They'll say, okay, I want you to turn to the person beside you, and I want you to give them your top three. What's your top food that you go to? What's your top place that you like to visit? And what's your favorite person? Go. And the whole place erupts in like conversation, right? And then the same evangelist or the person says, okay, now I want you to right now really quickly look at that same person and tell them your top three spiritual gifts. And then there's absolutely silence through the whole building. I just think that's manipulative, and I don't like it. I think it's kind of weird because I don't think, you know, The sheep are loved by Jesus Christ, so don't use them for your ways. But I want you to know this, that the definition of spiritual gifts is not so much leader, pastor, compassion. It's not so much to name your top three. I want you to know that spiritual giftings are more of a, and I'm gonna say it like this, less of a download and more of a live stream. So sometimes you get like all tied up in knots. It's like, what are my spiritual gifts? And I've got to use those three spiritual gifts. I think the gifts of the Spirit are more of a position of our heart where we're like, Jesus, do whatever you want to do for me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Fill me with your presence today when I go to the job site or where I'm in university or when I'm in school. What do you want to do through me? Use me as a conduit for the people who are in front of me so they understand the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a more accurate description of what the gifts of the Spirit are. Let me give you a couple quotes. Dr. Jim Bradford, he says this, spiritual gifts are spiritual enablements determined largely by the need of the moment. To whom are you ministering to? To have a posture, to be faithful, to use whatever you give me for the situation and the moment to expand the kingdom of God. Frank Machia, who's a leading pastoral theologian, would say, spiritual gifts are not for the, okay, so if you get upset about this, remember, I'm fired after 11 o'clock service and you can send that email to Matt, all right? Spiritual gifts are not for the experience of the person through whom a gift is manifest, but on the person that ultimately benefits from that gift. It's not about you. Look at me, watch me, hear me, focus on me. That's not the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm also talking about those who walk in a prophetic gift. We've misaligned. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the most sane person in the room. What makes the Holy Spirit in church weird is us. Because we don't go deep enough in the Word to understand the definitions. It's us that repels the world because we monetize it or manipulate people with the gifts. But the gifts of the Spirit are for the person that you're ministering to. Let me just say, the gifts of the Spirit are not just for this room. They're for your office. They're for your school. They're for Starbucks. They're for when you're in the vehicle with your spouse, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends. Where do I get that from? Well, the word, the key word here is gift. What is the word that Paul uses for gift here in 1 Corinthians 12 is charimata or charis. The word charis is a lesser word that's connected to the term grace. And what's grace? Grace is given to us without any, we don't have to try for it or dance for it. We don't have to pretend for it. Grace is given to us. I mean, this morning, worship team, good job. Where's our worship leader? I know you were nervous. Lean into that and just be bold because you did a great job this morning, my brother. But the songs that you sung this morning was like grace. Like we just walk in grace. It's a gift. And that's why our spiritual giftings are giftings of grace. Grace is always extended to the person that is with you and around you. It's tangible action. And our posture sometimes with our spiritual gift, and maybe that's why we repel it or don't want it, is look at me, watch me, see me. But our posture in gifts is I'm open. Lord, where and how do you want to use me today? Whether I'm at university or in my high school or in my workplace or on the job site, in the manufacturing, wherever I am, use me. You still with me, everyone? Send those emails to Pastor Matt. He's going to not reply to you. Now, let me just give you two pastoral observations. And again, remember the context of this. The context is grace. It's, and I think these things are foundational when it comes to spiritual gifts. And my first encouragement, just to highlight it again, is that the spiritual gifts are for the common good of everyone in this room and the common good of humanity. The common good. There was two things that my wife Shelley and I loved to do when I was in Kelowna as a youth pastor. We'd love to come to Kamloops, Chapters Chicken, Sopapilla, honey butter, okay? Still feeling the benefits of that. But we also loved to go to Montana because it was just below us. And I like diners. I know I look fairly young, 25, but you know, this body is made for luxury, but we like the diner culture. You know, like just good food, good home cooking food. And I remember this one trip that Shelley and I took into Montana. I think we went to play golf or something before we had kids and it got too expensive. But we stopped at this diner. And you know, when somebody who has financial enablement, I'll say that, when they're wealthy, you know, so we're sitting in this diner and I think, you know, this heavy-plated Mercedes drove up and I saw it driving up from the outside of this diner in Montana. And this couple came out and they're an older couple. And you I hope you're with me this morning because you've adopted me, but you know, you can just tell when people, they're just dressed. You just know that they have abundance in their life. And this couple came in and sat down, but it soon became one of the worst experiences in my mind about being in a diner. These people were so rude to the waitress. Let me just give you a side thing. If you really want to find out the heart of the person that you want to get to know, maybe you're doing a job interview, take them to a restaurant and see how they treat the waiter and the waitress. You'll know the real heart of a person. And so we're sitting in this diner and this couple come and they were like, you know, it's like, it's a diner and we're in Montana. Like, so the waitress would bring out like the salad and the main at the same time. And you could hear this lady, and there's maybe about five or six other tables that were full. And this lady would be like, excuse me, miss, you'd never bring out the main meal until after the salad is done. Take that back, please. You know, so like Shelley is right now pressing her foot to my shin underneath the table. Cause I'm like, this is wrong. They're not treating people properly. And so this went on, they finished. And this is, and again, I wish Shelley was here because this is not evangelistic. She said, can you believe who we are? Can you believe where we are? Like with disdain. You know, it's just almost like a Saturday Night skit. They finished their food, they got up and they walked out. And it's almost like every table that was there had this like little clap, you know, of encouragement. And the waitress just started to cry and we encouraged her and we gave her good tips. And I just want to say this, when it comes to spiritual gifts and the Apostle Paul, this is not the posture that we take in a faith community or a church like Gateway. That is not the heart. God is not pleased with us when we think, can you believe where I am? Can you believe who I am because of my spiritual gifts? This is exactly what Paul is getting to in 1 Corinthians. He's saying it's not a competition. It's almost like today we walk into Gateway Church and we're standing a little bit taller and then everyone else stands a little bit taller. And then next Sunday we come with like elevated shoes and we're all going. And then the next Sunday we come with stilts and we're all coming in. Paul is saying here, this is not, he's basically saying this, stop. Stop, Corinth. It's not about who you are. Number one, the condition and the prototype of the gifts is not you. It is Jesus. So it should humble us that we actually have the grace of God given a gift so that we can give it to other people. You know, I love Eugene Peterson. And maybe you know the Bible, the Message, who paraphrased that. But Eugene Peterson's writings on the pastoral stand and pastoral gifting are just beautiful. And he would say things like, you have to be aware of the evangelical empire machine. Be very conscious of the church. Do not be gullible to celebrity. Do not be gullible to commercialization. Don't make church a sideshow. Don't be arrogant. Don't use your gift for personal gain. And so in Corinth, Paul is pleading with this young church to serve each other for the common good. Not a reflection of their culture, but for the common good given to them by Jesus Christ. And Corinth had a penchant for celebrity. Just give you some context of Corinth. We know that in the Isle of Rhodes, there is this who influenced Corinth as well. There was this idea, there was this philosophy called cursus honorum, like the way of honor. It was called the path to glory and honor. And they would exemplify and lift up in Corinth people like Hermogenes of Tarsus, who was a rhetorician, and he would speak eloquent. And so the city of Corinth, they loved this kind of like talky-talky, look who's the most popular kind of a person. And in Rhodes, they had 3,000 statues of people's chiseled faces and statues. And the big thing in that city was, if I could get my name chiseled into one of these statues, then I've made it. And so you'd have these statues of like Nathan's name and my name and Matt's name, but the face didn't match. But it was like just this drive to be known, this drive to be someone who is above somebody else. And that's why Paul in Corinth says, some say Paul, some say Apollos, some say Cephas. I say Christ. It's not about someone who can look better and be better. Sit down, be humble, is what he is trying to say. In verse 26, he says, it's not the wise, it's not the powerful. God chose the failing so that when I am weak, I am then strong. And so Paul comes at it very strongly. And that's why he says, if you can speak with tongues of angels, if you can lead worship with tongues of angels, if you prophesy with tongues of angels, but if you're not for the common good and don't have love, you're gone. Sit down, be humble. Roger Strongstad said this, the experience of spiritual gifts nurtures the awareness of the priesthood of all believers. So participation in church is no longer the privilege of the elite, but it is the right of every Christian, Acts 2:17, the old, the young, men and for women. And God just God just is stirring up the church in Corinth, and he stirs us up this morning and says, use what you have been given for the common good. This is the second thing. The second thing that I want to just bring as an encouragement, we see this from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we know that it's for the common good, but this is the second pastoral plea to you this morning, Gateway Church. And I know I told you just to tell me, call me Doug, but this maybe comes from a little bit of the BCYDPHC. It says, desire the spiritual gifts, and Paul's very clear about this, in love. Love. Love one another. And sometimes we hear in church so much love that we don't really understand the depth and the meaning of what Paul is trying to say. You know, maybe you're here this morning and you say, okay, Doug, how do I find my spiritual gifts? You know, you can take a course, you can take a class, you can go online, you can do, you know, fill in the blanks, and it'll give you an idea. But I want to tell you how the best way to find your spiritual gift this morning, Gateway Church, get involved with people. Get involved with people's lives. Get involved with Gateway. Well, whether it's Sunday or a Tuesday or a serving or whether it's outreach, when you start to get involved with people's lives, you will know really quickly what's your gifting. I'm telling you, if you're like, hey, maybe I'm called to youth ministry. You go, Pastor Nathan, I want to come out Thursday night. Listen, if you're not called to youth ministry, you'll know pretty darn quick that you're not called to youth ministry if you come out on Thursday night. Maybe you want to help with kids. You will know really quickly if that's not your gifting or not. But the best way to do it is love people, press into people, get to know people, serve people, speak to people. You will know your spiritual gifts. I think the reason why people are leery of the Spirit of God, spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit, is because of our manipulation of them, our arrogance, our personal gain. But listen, love changes the game, people. Love changes the game. Let me just give you just three quick statements about this. What about evangelism or sharing the gospel? You know, twice a month in CLA with Recovery Church, we have a group that walks the back alleys and the streets of the one way of downtown Langley. Find people who are under cardboard and give them some food and some hot chocolate and some warm socks. And for about 2 years, there were these fundamental guys who would find us and attack us with like, oh, you're wearing a Vancouver Canucks hat. You know you're going to hell because sports is from hell. And, you know, it's like this hard kind of line, kind of like, that's not love. Love comes from a heart that you just want people to understand the love and the grace of God. It's not beating people. What about teaching and leading worship? Man, if Matt stands up on Sunday and all he wants is just an applause for himself, then that's not the use of his gift. That's not love. But when you lead worship or when you speak or whether it's Thursday night or Sunday morning, I want the people of God to love you, maybe Jesus, just a little bit more this morning when they walk out of this room. When I lead worship this morning, I just want people to just love Jesus just a little bit more this morning. That's the motivation of the common good and for using your gifts in love. What about hospitality? It's a lost art. Instead of inviting your people over to your house and it's like, it's gotta look good, we gotta fluff the pillows. Well, that's just entertainment. But when it's love, when you invite people into your home and it's love, you could serve hot dogs and those people that are invited into your home will sense a blessing of God and love in their life. Love changes the game. It changes our lives. It changes how people see us. It changes the church. It's so important. You know, sometimes it's dangerous for a pastor to say an ending, but I am going to end. And if there's someone who's going to play keys, thank you so much. What is your name? Jess. Thank you, Jess. Let me just end with this, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Matt. And I also just want to say this, is that at the end, just before we leave, we want to make sure that you don't leave here this morning without being prayed for. You know, James chapter 5 is like God's eye view of the church. Like we rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. We pray for one another. Maybe there's something in your life. Maybe you just need God to be stirred up again. Or maybe it's a prayer need for a physical need. Or you need healing. Or maybe it's a relationship need. Please don't walk out of this building without being prayed for. You might think, well, it's so small. It's not small to us. We just want to minister and pray faith with you and for you. Let me say this about desiring spiritual gifts. What do you desire in your life? What is that thing inside that you're just driven for? Is it education? Maybe for you, it's like going to university and studying and growing, and you want your mind to be illuminated with knowledge of the world, or maybe it's theology. You know what? I think Jesus looks at those kind of desires, and I think he goes, go for it. But I tell you this, I think Jesus would say, in the midst of your desire to become educated, don't forget desiring the things of God and the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God in your desire for education. What about retirement? Is that your desire? Gateway, is it to retire well? I mean, I'm like 10 plus years away from that. I'm like, good luck, kids. You're on your own, because mom and I are spending our money doing our own. Is it retirement, though? Is it to give your family some money? Is it to do well? Is it to give to your kids? I think Jesus would say, there's nothing wrong with that. But also, above that and with that, desire the things of the Spirit. Desire the gifts of the Spirit. Is it a good holiday? Man, I've been working hard. I work for that manufacturer just outside of Kamloops. I can't wait till we have a holiday. We've been saving for a holiday. Maybe we're going to get that cruise to Alaska. I think Jesus would say, do it, enjoy it, rest. But in the midst of your desires and pursuits in your life, desire the things of the Spirit alongside with those things that you are desiring. Is it a career? Is it to work hard, to become a CEO or a CFO, or to be some kind of integral to a company and to get those shares? I think Jesus would say, you know, do that, excel in that. But at the same time that you want to have a good career, desire the things of the Spirit. And so we do these things for the common good. We open up our lives and say, it's not about 1, 2, 3. It's, Jesus, would you please come and use me today, tomorrow being Monday, use me wherever I go, whatever I do, use me, flow through me to the person that's in front of me so they understand your love and the kingdom of God. And then for us, Gateway Church, desire spiritual things, desire spiritual gifts. Come to Matt's class, Pastor Matt's class. That sounds amazing. Desire the things of the Spirit. Let me pray. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for Gateway Church, Lord. Thank you for each gift that is used. Thank you, Lord. I pray that in the name of Jesus, you would do your work in our lives to be an extension of your kingdom. Father, I pray that you would reveal to us again the amazing power and love and comfort that the Holy Spirit brings when we invite the Spirit in. So even right now, Lord, we say, come, Holy Spirit, invade us, invade our minds, invade our hearts. Use us for your kingdom and for your purposes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.